But we've come to reflect on the life and faith of our Queen. The title for our service this morning is The Servant Queen and the King That She Serves. So I thought, well, what better could we do than start off this morning by showing you some pictures of our Queen over the last 90 years. So we'll start there, and then when we've gone through the first video clip, the Crofts and Singers are going to come and join us at the front here, and they're going to sing the first piece to us this morning. I'm going to reflect on the King that our Queen serves throughout our service this morning. Wow, 90 years. Come on, Anne, up. Up you come with your Crofts and Singers. 90 years. Do you see your birth date coming up there somewhere, most of us? Or is it just me? It's kind of about halfway through for me, actually. I don't know about it was for you. We're reflecting on the King that our Queen serves, and Crofts and Singers are going to start us off by thinking and singing about the King. Fantastic. Let's stand together, shall we? We're going to sing in a moment, but if you're able to stand, let's stand. And there are some words on the screen. Let's stand up now, shall we, so we all know what we're doing. Some words on the screen. In the Psalms, there are some Psalms called the Royal Psalms, which reflect the King that we've just heard about. And we're going to read these words out loud together on the screen. So let's do that now, shall we, out loud together. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and is armed with strength. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity. Your statutes stand firm. Holiness adorns your house for endless days, O Lord. Well, we're going to sing two songs now. Firstly, we're going to sing How Great Thou Art. We reflect on the greatness of the King. And then great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. Well, please be seated. Now, children, I would love for you to come to the front, okay? Because I want to chat to you for a few minutes this morning, okay? If you want to come and sit on the steps, that's great. If you're a bit nervous about coming on your own, then bring an adult with you, you know? Bring your mum or a dad or someone else. Just grab the nearest adult, really, and just come. I've got a special guest that I want to introduce you to this morning. Very special guest. We've already introduced one guest. Ah, good boy. That's great. Sit down. That's lovely. Fantastic. Brilliant. Brilliant. Have you spotted any special guests this morning? Now, I've spotted the Crofts and Singers so far, because you were up here, weren't you, a minute ago? That's right. Did anybody see somebody who's dressed very importantly this morning standing up? Did you see him? Shall we ask him to stand up again? Shall we? Did you see him? Do you know where he's sitting, Charlotte? Okay. Gunnar, Tim, up you stand. Let's see you. Doesn't he look very important, doesn't he?
Yeah, and also I went to a party yesterday and I saw the actual mayor.
Oh, very good. We'll talk about that in a minute. You can sit down again. That's brilliant. Brilliant. Sorry, I forgot you were standing there for a minute. I put a tie on today because this is a special day. But I've got another guest I want to introduce you to. I just have to sort of go and get her, actually, because she's been waiting outside this door for quite a long time. She's came in already, actually. Look, here she is. Look. Here she is. Somebody put her outside my office door during the week, and I walked into the corridor, and I got quite a fright, actually. Expect to see the Queen outside my office door. Now, how old is the Queen today? Yep. 90. Wow, that's right. Is anybody here 90? None of you are 90? Not yet? Not yet.
I'm already 5.
You're 5. Okay, well, that's a good start. You're on the way, aren't you? Now, can you see the pictures? You've got some pictures on the back wall, so you can see them from there, actually. So if we see if we can move these pictures on. Let's see. There's somebody with a 90th birthday card for the Queen, standing outside Windsor Palace, Windsor Castle, 90 years old. But do you know the Queen wasn't always 90, was she? No, of course she wasn't always 90. But she's an amazing lady. I was thinking this week about the Queen, and she has been the longest person who's been a queen or a king in this country ever. Incredible long time. I can hardly read the screen on the back. 64 years she's been queen. That's quite a long time as well, actually, isn't it? 64 years. And she has had 12 prime ministers. Did anybody know who our prime minister is now?
David Cameron.
David Cameron. Well done. Well, she's had 12 David Camerons during the course of her life. And lots of other people along the way, that's right. Starting with Winston Churchill. And how many dogs has she got? Can anybody read that screen? How many dogs? More than 30. And she feeds them all herself. Any of you got 30 dogs at home? No, we haven't. No, we're not doing well on the numbers. You've got one cat, okay. 30 cats. That's true. There couldn't possibly be 12 David Camerons. You're absolutely right. And some people are very thankful that there aren't 12 David Camerons. But we won't get into that this morning, okay? Now, anybody know what tweets are? Maybe you guys are a bit young to be tweeting. Well, I hope you are, in a sense. But she did her first tweet back in, is it 2014? And she still works between 40 and 50 hours a week. That's pretty good going, isn't it, for somebody who's 90 years of age. But she wasn't always 90. You see, once upon a time, she didn't always look like this. If you look at the picture that's coming up next, she was actually a little baby. Some of you guys were babies at one stage. In fact, you were all babies at one stage. So I better be clear about that, hadn't I? Definitely all babies at one stage. Actually, so was I, believe it or not.
It's 83 more years.
83 more years till you're 90. My goodness me. Wow. Okay. Right. We could be here a long time this morning. Here's the Queen, a little bit like some of you guys are now, maybe about the same age. She's already got 2 corgi dogs with her. But look at this next video, because here's a really interesting video which shows us how she changes over the year. You watch her face changing. Look. There you are. Now, you've got 83 years. Your face might change a bit in 83 years as well, mightn't it? But when she was 21 years old, 21, right, she became queen. Can you see that picture that's there? And I wonder if you can see what she's holding in her hand at all. Can you see what's on her head, first of all? What's on her head? A crown. And that's the crown that she was given. Here she is in her golden carriage on her day when she became queen. There she is waving out the window. I think I've got a picture somewhere of her crown. Now, I'll show you that in a minute, because these people were in the Mall the day that she became queen. And we have 2 people in our church. I'm not sure if Eric and Valerie are here today or not, but Eric and Valerie Mountford, they are at the right at the back. I can see them now. Give me a wave, Valerie. There's Valerie right at the very back, and Eric's beside her. They were in the Mall on the day when the Queen became queen. She got a crown. They were in that crowd. See, some of these photographs are quite old. They're black and white, because they're a long, long time ago when this actually happened. So, there they are on the balcony. Now, let's see if I can find a picture of her crown. Anybody ever held a pineapple in their hands?
No.
Now, if you put a pineapple on your head, it's about the same weight that crown would be. That would be quite difficult, actually, sort of walk around, wouldn't it, with a pineapple on your head. But that's how heavy it was. She had to have that on her head, first of all. And then, there's a picture of the crown. And then she was given something very important to hold. She was given, can you see what's in her hand? Can you see all the way back down there? Something round. And you see that? It's called an orb. And there is another picture of it. And the orb was to remind the Queen, that, see the cross on the top of it? That she was a servant of Jesus Christ. That although she'd be given lots of authority and power as Queen, the cross was to remind her that actually she was serving Jesus. And she was given something else. She was given something called a scepter. It's a bit like a rod, really, I guess. But it had a really important and valuable stone on the top of it. Can you see it? It's a big diamond. How much do you think that diamond is worth? Yep.
10,000?
10,000 pounds, yep. Wow,
it
depends how big the diamond is. You're absolutely right. Yes, guess?
2 million.
2 million? Yep.
£1,500,000.
£1,500,000, okay, right, yeah.
Priceless.
priceless. Well, someone's managed to get a price on it. Look what they put on it. £400 million for that jewel. Yeah, it's very expensive, isn't it? So she had some really important things given to her to hold, but then she was given something that was absolutely priceless. She was given a Bible, and when she was given a Bible, when she was 21, in her coronation, when she became queen, she was told that that was the most valuable thing in the world. And she grew up as a young person to follow Jesus and to learn that as she read the Bible, she could discover who God was and how much God loves us. And then she said this, because she's followed Jesus all through her life, she says, "He has become my inspiration and he has become my anchor." And my prayer is for you guys, although you're only much younger this morning, none of you are 90, none of you are 21, but she set out to keep that Bible and to remember to learn. She read the Bible and she learned about God. That actually is what really steered her through her life. My prayer is that you will all learn to do that as well. And you'll learn a bit more about the Bible as you go out in a few minutes this morning. Now, someone's going to pray for the Queen this morning. Who's going to pray? Are you praying for the Queen? No? Fraser? Let me see if I can find a microphone for you. Do you think you can do it where you are? If I hold this for you, will that be all right? You can hold that as well. Let's pray for the Queen, okay?
Dear God, thank you for the Queen and for helping her to be a person of God. Thank you for her providing order in the government and helping the Prime Minister to make decisions. Please help her keep a strong faith in you and to lead the country. Please help her to continue setting an example to England and the rest of the world. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. Are you going to pray as well? I've forgotten that. There we go. Can you hold the microphone as well? Thank you. Let's close our eyes again, okay? We're going to pray again.
Almighty God, Heavenly Father, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, you look down from your throne on all who dwell on earth. We ask you most earnestly to look favourably on our Sovereign Lady, Queen Elizabeth, who is celebrating her 90th birthday. During her reign, she has visited 117 countries, and we thank you for the impact she has had, not just in the UK, but across the world. Fill her with your Holy Spirit so that she may love the law and walk in your ways. Continue to give our Queen and Prince Philip good health and strength, and grant that after this life she may enjoy everlasting happiness in your eternal kingdom. We also pray for peace, love and harmony in the world today, and that the human race focuses on you, Lord, and all the good that it brings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Wow, two great prayers for our Queen. Now we're going to sing a song before you go out this morning, because we're thinking about the King that our Queen serves. So we're going to sing a song which is called "Our God is a Great Big God." Do you know that one? It's got a few actions as well, isn't it, actually? So shall we sort of stand up round here and see if we can do a few actions? We'll get all the adults to stand up as well, all right? And at the end of this song, you guys are going to head out, all right? So let's stand up and sing. Well, please be seated. We're thinking about the King that our Queen serves. I hope if you arrive today and you've come as a visitor, you will take one of these away with you. There's plenty around in the church, there's some outside. And in here, there's some lovely snapshots of the Queen's life. And we're going to just highlight a couple of those snapshots this morning. So Deanne's going to come and read the first of those snapshots for us.
The Prince and the Chauffeur. The Queen is, by all accounts, an accomplished mimic. Many people have returned the favour, though rarely in her company. And that mimicry reflects a joyous sense of humour and perhaps a certain mischievous streak. Part of her job is to entertain state visitors. In 1998, Crown Prince Abdullah of Saudi Arabia was visiting the Queen at Balmoral. After lunch, Her Majesty asked the Prince if he would like a tour of the estate. He agreed, and in due course was guided to the front seat of a Land Rover with his interpreter seated behind him. In Saudi Arabia, the government prevents women from driving, so the Prince was perhaps unprepared to see the Queen getting into the driving seat next to him, setting off at speed along the narrow estate roads and talking constantly. The ruffled Abdullah pleaded with the Queen through his interpreter to slow down and keep her eyes on the road. It is not clear that she took any notice.
Brilliant, thank you. Well, we're going to be talking to and thinking about some people who have come close to meeting the Queen. But here's a few photographs, first of all. I'm sure you picked up already, the Queen is somebody who works incredibly hard. Between 40 and 50 hours a week at the age of 90. Quite incredible, isn't it? I was just reading this week that she still receives her box, her red box of government documents every day, which she reads even when she's on holidays. She meets weekly with the Prime Minister. We're not told what they talk about. According to David Cameron, those meetings are incredibly helpful. She makes official visits to other countries. She receives royalty and politicians. She visits hundreds of schools and businesses and care homes and youth projects. And her aim is to visit as many people as she can with the aim of celebrating people who work in all areas of life. You heard some of the stats in one of the prayers this morning, actually. But here's some which really are quite amazing, aren't they? In her period as Queen, she has made 113 state visits to different countries. She has hosted 163 state visits in that period. She is patron of more than 600 charities and organisations. She has given royal assent to more than 3,500 acts of Parliament. And a few more of these were added just over the weekend, weren't they? 750 awards or honours that she's given out. Really quite amazing, isn't it, when you think about how much this lady has done. Now I try to find out who's actually met the Queen when I did a sort of a survey of our own congregation, and I was quite surprised actually. I couldn't find anybody who'd really met the Queen. Anybody here met the Queen? One person. Have you met the Queen? And what occasion was it? At Buckingham Palace. So you were received by the Queen. Fantastic, great stuff. I did find someone else in our congregation who's met the Queen, but he's not here today, he's away. Paul?
He's been to a garden party.
Been to a garden party? Anybody else been to garden parties? Oh, look at that. 4, 5, 6 hands going out. Brilliant. Well, is Audrey here this morning? Audrey Forbes. You are here, Audrey. Audrey, you live quite close by, if I'm right, to where the Queen used to go to Balmoral. Is that right? And I found a photograph. I don't know if this is a good photograph or the right photograph or not, but this was up. I'm going to find a microphone and run all the way to the back if I can, because you, when you were growing up, lived quite close to Balmoral, if I've got this one right. And this train used to go quite nearby your house, so I'm told. And who did you see on the Queen? Or who did you see on the train? Oh, I've given it away.
Well, the royal family used to sail in the royal yacht to Aberdeen. Then they transferred onto the train, and the train passed the foot of my garden, and as I was growing up. And we always knew when the royal train was going to pass, and as children we ran to the foot of the garden and waved, and the Queen waved back to us.
Fantastic, fantastic. And sad to say, they got rid of the railway, didn't they? That used to run the back of your house. So the only thing I could find here was a picture of the abandoned platform. So things have changed, haven't they? Our own, anybody recognise who this is? Margaret Evans, yes. Would you recognise Margaret Evans? Well, Margaret Evans told me a story. She's away with her mum this weekend, but she said that she thought she was going to be chosen as a nurse who was finishing her training to meet the Queen. So she was all excited about it, and then discovered actually that she wasn't the one who was going to be chosen. It was actually one of her colleagues. So the only photograph she could give me was the photograph of one of her colleagues meeting the Queen. So she came really close to meeting the Queen. But somebody who did meet the Queen from our own church family, I think if my photographs are going to come next. Who's this then? It's Keith Holder. Look at that. He's very proud to send me that photograph because he was recognised for the work that he did, or does rather, in Costa Rica with street children. So he sent me a couple of photographs through of that particular occasion when he met with the Queen. He's very proud of those photographs, actually. I'm sure you can imagine that. But lovely way of recognising the work that he's been involved in Costa Rica with street children for many, many years of his life. Someone who's not only met the Queen, but actually worked with the Queen, is a guy called Dick, second name, just gone out of my head here for a minute, Griffiths. Some of you have met him. He's come to the church once or twice before, and I caught up with him during the week. We did a short interview with him, so I'm hoping that we can pick up the interview on screen now and just hear what he had to say about working with the Queen for many, many years as her, as one of her private policemen.
We've got the chapters really quickly edits when you celebrate the Queen's 90th birthday. I think I'm right in introducing you as the Queen's police officer, is that right?
Ex-police officer.
So now a new Queen's police officer. Important that we get that right.
Absolutely.
So when did you take up that kind of appointment?
I was appointed Queen's police officer in 1999. And I did the job till 2013 when I retired.
Okay, so just over 3 years ago then, really.
Yeah, retired in April 2013. Yeah.
So, Queen's police officer sounds quite intriguing, actually. I'd love to know a little bit more about what that actually means.
Well, it's a very grand title, like a lot of the titles are members of the royal family, but it just basically meant I was a head of security. I was her number one personal protection officer. She had four. Mm-hmm. And certainly for the last 4 years of my career, I was the top person, and the top man had the job, had the title of the Queen's police officer.
Essentially, that means where she went, you went.
Yeah, it was my responsibility. If she stays at Buckingham Palace or Windsor Castle, there is a uniformed detachment there who guard the place and make sure it's secure as far as they can.
Yeah.
When you ask about people breaking over walls recently.
Yes, exactly.
But my job was, or my colleagues, whenever she left Buckingham Palace or wherever she went throughout the world, her personal security was our responsibility. So we would have to make the arrangements for hospitals, policing arrangements. Transport,
okay.
Basically anything to do with security, we organised.
Well, on this special Sunday, we're talking to people who have met the Queen, but I guess as we start talking to you, we're coming much closer to somebody who knows her pretty well.
I think so.
So what was she like to work with?
Oh, she's wonderful. I mean, I wouldn't say anything else anyway, obviously.
But
no, I was fortunate because I spent 13 years working for her. And before that, I worked for his Royal Highness, the Duke of Edinburgh, for 13 years. So I worked closely with the Queen then, so spending 26 years of my life, and before that, 4 years with Prince Edward, so 30 years of my professional career, I spent working with the family, so got to know her very, very well, and she's just a very, very lovely lady.
That's quite a period of your life, isn't it, when you start putting all those years together?
It soon went.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose as you reflect back over that period, are there any particular moments that stand out in terms of that time you spent working with the Queen, sort of significant moments?
Well, obviously, there was the Golden Jubilee, Diamond Jubilee.
Right, of course.
Days like the Spirit of Chartwell, going down the River Thames and getting soaking wet and freezing cold.
Yes,
that definitely stand out in my memory. Because I was fortunate, because I had other police officers on board and we could slip away and have a cup of tea and a cup of coffee and get warm. Because nobody would notice us, but me and the Duke had to stay up the top deck all the way through.
Not like the people I remember standing in the choir watching the rain just dripping down their necks on that particular occasion. So you've been there through some quite significant occasions then, really.
Well, royal weddings, state visits all over the world. Yeah. I think my grandchildren worked out, I've been to over 160 different countries, either with the Duke or with the Majesty.
Fantastic.
So
does that mean you sort of lived life on call then?
Not really. It's just down to planning. Certainly, I had another three officers who worked with me. So we would split the year up, and obviously me and my deputy would do all the major events, all the overseas stuff, and all the big public events, and our other two colleagues would do what I call the lesser events. But no matter what it was, there was a lot of planning involved. Yeah. If it was overseas, we would have to go across those countries a couple of months beforehand, along with the private secretary, to make all the arrangements, meet the police, and make sure everything was organised properly.
Yeah. I guess in that long period of time, you got to know the Queen quite well. And I've been told she's got quite a sense of humour. And I remember your previous visit to Crofton, where you recounted a couple of stories that really showed her kind of humorous side. Are there any particular stories that are your favourites?
Well, my favourite story, which I'm sure some of you might have heard before, because the BBC have recently been talking about it, was when we were up at Balmoral. Her Majesty wanted to go for a walk one day and have a picnic. So just the two of us went walking over the hills. And about 2 hours later, we bumped into two American tourists. And it was clearly obvious they didn't know who the Queen was. She was dressed in a barber jacket and a headscarf. Mm-hmm. And obviously no corgis with us. And struck up a conversation with us. And they told her, Her Majesty, they're from America. And then they said to her, and where are you from? And then she said, I've got a little house the other side of the hill. And how long have you been coming up here for? And I said, oh, she said, I've been coming up here for 50 or 60 years. And they said, oh, you've been coming here for 50, 60 years. You must have met the Queen. And he said, I've never met her, but Dick's met her. So then quickly came to me and said, what's she like? I said, she's got a wicked sense of humour.
And that kind of puts you on the spot when you get asked a question like that.
It certainly does.
In front of the Queen. we're remembering the Queen, really, today. And I guess as you reflect on that time that you've worked with her, getting to know her, what would be some of the things that you'd really remember about her, about her, some of her qualities as a person, and some things that really stand out for you that you remember?
I think the thing that stands out more than anything is that she puts her role as the Queen before absolutely anything. You know, she's still head of state of 14 different countries. She's head of the armed forces, head of the judiciary, head of the church, and the amount of work. Even when we used to go away for private weekends, the red boxes would still follow her up. Just apart from Christmas Day, it was the only day when she wasn't working hard.
Yeah. In terms of her character, how would you describe her?
Just a very, very lovely lady. Great sense of humour. Always interested in other people. I do a lot of running. I went to work on a Monday. She'd always want to know how I'd got on. Was I running for charity? How are my family? My two children are always having accidents. She was always, what have you been up to this weekend? Yeah. Just a very, very caring lady.
So really interested in you and your family.
Well, a good example was, I do a lot of marathon running, as you probably know. And when I ran my 100th marathon, Blackheath Harriers wrote a letter to Her Majesty asking tongue-in-cheek if she would write a letter, because you write letters to people about 100th birthday. Herbert Sumner has run 100 marathons. And surprise, surprise, this letter arrived, and amongst the usual platitudes of well done, the bottom line was, but aren't you lucky to have such a wonderful employer that allows you so much time off to take part in these events? It says it all.
Fantastic. So you've got your 100th letter without getting anywhere near 100.
A few years, yeah.
I think I remember you telling me around the time you left your employment about 3 years ago, and it was a party and stuff, and you had a surprise guest at your party.
I did. I was very lucky. Her Majesty offered to give me a retirement party at Buckingham Palace and allowed me to invite 200 guests. So obviously all of a sudden I had a lot of friends from my running community and golf friends who wanted to come, and obviously my family came up from Wales. And Her Majesty never attends events like that. But to my great amazement, I was flabbergasted. Her Majesty, the Duke of Edinburgh, and Prince Edward all arrived and came to my party.
Fantastic.
And spent an hour and a half meeting all my friends.
Yeah. What a wonderful memory.
It's a whole of my career.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess in this anniversary year, celebration year, there are lots of invitations going around in terms of you being invited back to events at the palace.
Yes, I've got an event with Her Majesty on the, I think it's the 12th of July, in the city to celebrate a birthday, so I'm looking forward to that.
So you've definitely not been forgotten?
Oh yeah.
Not yet. Dick, thank you so much for coming to talk to us today.
Pleasure.
I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Well, Dick's a great guy to chat to, actually, and he does come to Crofton from time to time, so look out for his next visit. We've got another snapshot of the Queen's life. Hope you're putting some bits together now. June's going to come and read a snapshot of a fairly serious event that happened to the Queen. I'll just give you another snapshot of the kind of person that she is, the kind of character that she is. And this next snapshot is entitled The Shooter and the Intruder.
On almost every visit to any part of Britain, or indeed any part of the world, the Queen walks about in a way that makes her a relatively easy target for an assassin. However, she's deliberately and courageously chosen a low level of security precisely so that she can engage with the people. Douglas Hurd, who's the former Foreign Secretary, put it this way. He said, "The Queen has decided that in order to do her duty, she must behave in ways that make her impossible to protect. Furthermore, when danger comes, she is, by all accounts, unflappable." Famously, during the Trooping of the Colour in 1981, when the Queen rode side saddle and unflanked by other riders, six shots rang out. Unperturbed, the Queen simply bent forward to pat her horse and carried on as if nothing had happened. The shots turned out to be blank, but the Queen, of course, didn't know that. Similarly, in 1982, an intruder called Michael Fagan found his way into her Buckingham Palace bedroom. Afterwards, when someone applauded the calm way she handled the situation, she said, You seem to forget that I spend most of my time conversing with complete strangers.
So it says it all, really, doesn't it? Well, we've got another guest with us this morning. And come on, Gunnar, Tim, it's time to come up. We've got you standing up or down often enough so far, haven't we? Come on up. I want to chat to you for a few minutes this morning. I can find my microphone, which has disappeared now. Cause it's around here. In fact, you grab that then, okay? Because that will be the best thing to do. Now, I know you weren't involved in this yesterday. This was Tribute of the Colour yesterday. But it is an event that you are involved in from time to time. Isn't that right?
That's true.
That's true. Good, I got that bit right. And everybody was sort of commenting on the Queen's colour of dress yesterday. She certainly stood out yesterday. All right, there, Buckingham Palace fly past yesterday. But we want to talk to you more specifically about what you're involved in. Now, you're in a regiment. What's the name of the regiment that you're involved in?
The King's Troop Royal Horse Artillery.
Have you got that? The King's Troop Royal Horse Artillery. I had to really kind of get my head around that when we started talking about this during the week. Tell us a little bit about the regiment. What does the regiment do?
Well, we fire gun salutes for the Queen and do stuff like state open the Parliament. If there's state visits about, we'll go to Windsor. And we'll fire a 21-gun salute for whoever the guest is.
Okay, so you guys are involved as a regiment. I've got some photographs up here firing some of these salutes and stuff.
That's me.
Is that you?
Yeah.
Oh, look at that. I just grabbed that off the internet. Look at that. That's good, isn't it? Well, we worked that one out well, didn't we?
Yeah. Okay.
Very good. There you are in action. Just proves that you actually are who you say you are. How about that, yeah? And there's another one here. Tell us about these gun salutes. Different sort of salutes for different occasions, is that right?
Yeah, so if we're in a royal pack, we'll fire 41. So we add an extra 20 rounds if we're on a royal pack. If we're in green pack, we just fire the normal 21.
Okay, so sometimes it's 21 and sometimes it's what?
41.
41, okay. And I guess you've got to do this in all weathers, because I saw one of these photographs, actually, in the middle of the snow and stuff. So sort of rain or shine, you guys have to kind of just get on with it, don't you?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Well, talk to you about your uniform for a minute, because this is very interesting. I'm going to just grab this for 1 second here. But this uniform that you're wearing at the moment, okay, so in the regiment, you have to wear different uniforms to perform different roles, is that right? So what's this one here?
This is dismounted patrols.
This is your patrol uniform?
Yeah, so dismounted. So, because we ride horses, we're mounted and dismounted.
Okay.
Yeah, so this is dismounted.
This is dismounted, okay. Yeah. So just to prove that you ride horses, there's a few horse photographs as well. Okay, so this is dismounted. I've kind of got my head around this morning. This is dismounted. Okay, what have we got here? This one is what then?
This is our full dress. So this is the highest form of dress anyone in the army could wear.
Okay, right. Yeah, so you're not going to let me wear it then, are you?
No.
No, of course not. There's no quick way out of this one, is it? So when do you wear this?
We wear this when we do royal salutes. If we do anything like if the regiment wants us to go and do something for the Chelsea pensioners.
Okay.
Anywhere, like, we have to make a presence, we'll wear something like this.
Special events. Yeah. And there's a kind of hat to go with this somewhere, isn't there? It's just not that one, no? Okay, right. Okay. Does that hat go with this one?
Yes.
Okay, well, let's talk about this one then. So tell me about this one.
So this one's the officer's dress. So this one's my commanding officer's. Yeah.
This is his uniform?
Yes.
You've nicked it, have you?
Yeah, he's all right.
He's all right for your borrow for the day. Okay, I'm glad to hear that, all right. Yeah. What's special about this one, then?
Well, this jacket's to make, it's about £4,000 to £5,000,
right.
A jacket.
Okay.
Because it's all gold braided, all gold braided. So the officers get more gold. So the more higher up the ranks you are, the more gold content
the more
you get.
Gold
so my jacket is just yellow string, you see. The officers get more accessories. They get a cross belt, a gold cross belt.
Very good.
And they get gold lines, where mine is just yellow.
Gold lines as well. Okay, just hold that for a second, because they get a hat as well then, do they?
Yeah, they do.
Okay. This is what you call a hat. Look at that.
Yeah. So this is an officer's busby. Yeah, this is what they wear in this dress. So it looks like this.
Fantastic. That looks good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That looks really good. That's worth a round of applause, that is. Definitely. Definitely. So So you haven't made the officer bit yet then?
No.
Not yet, okay. Not yet. So have you ever met the Queen?
Yes, I met her quite a few times actually.
Okay.
Because she came to Woolwich.
Okay.
When we moved to the barracks in Woolwich.
Right.
She came there. She was quite friendly, really.
She's quite friendly,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, all the kids were running around her, and everyone was quite surprised that everyone could get so close to her.
Okay.
And then I had to guard a room where she was.
Right.
So I was with my full dress and my sword and everything.
Good.
Standing there. Met her in Windsor this year again. In Larkhill, when we went to Larkhill for the Royal Artillery 300th anniversary.
Has she spoken to you?
Yeah, she spoke to me.
What does she say?
She just asks everyone, are you all right?
Are you all right?
Yeah.
It's nice, isn't it? It's a bit of a chat, really, isn't it? Yeah. Fantastic. Brilliant. Look, thank you so much for coming to chat to us today. Really appreciate it. You know, it's great to see some of the uniforms and work out what they're used for as well. So thank you so much. Let's give this guy a round of applause, shall we? Thank you.
Very good.
Thanks. Yeah. Brilliant. Well, one of the things we're talking about this morning is the faith of the Queen. And this is something that she asked for and prayed for at the beginning of her reign. It's very significant, really, isn't it? She says, pray that God may give me wisdom and strength to carry out the solemn promises I'll be making, and that I may faithfully serve him and you all the days of my life. And we're going to sing another song now, and then just for a few minutes we're going to think about the faith that the Queen has in Jesus Christ as we reflect on her life and faith this morning. And we're going to take an offering this morning. If you're a guest or visitor here, please just let the bag pass you. It's just one of the ways that we bring our worship to God this morning. We're going to stand and we're going to sing again, just thinking about the King that our Queen serves. So thanks, Roz. Queen's pretty well known for her Christmas broadcast, isn't she? And back in 2002, here's something that she said. She said, I know just how much I rely on my faith to guide me through the good times and the bad. Each day is a new beginning. I know that the only way to live my life is to try and do what is right. She says, to take the long view, to give of my best in all that the day brings, and to put my trust in God. I draw strength from the message of hope in the Christian gospel. And there's a verse in the Bible that really just came to my mind as I was thinking about the Queen this week, and it's in Philippians chapter 2, actually, in verse 5. It says, your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. And some of the things that I've looked at and learned over this last week or so as I've been thinking about the Queen is her sense of devotion to duty and to live out her faith as a follower of Jesus Christ. Still a little snapshot that was on Premier Radio just during the last week or so about the Queen's faith.
Two things stand out about the Queen: her constant sense of duty and her devotion to God. The Queen's faith was evident from an early age. At the beginning of World War II, 13-year-old Elizabeth handed her father, King George VI, a Christian poem which she later quoted in a public speech. On her 21st birthday, she dedicated her life to her people and asked for prayer.
God help me to make good my vow.
In 1953, over 38 million people tuned in for the coronation. Here the Queen publicly promised to maintain the laws of God and the true profession of the gospel. After the birth of her first grandchild, Peter Phillips, the Queen shared her hope that her family would follow Jesus, saying, I would like nothing more than that my grandchildren should hold dear his ideals. In 2002, Her Majesty chose to boldly speak out about her faith, saying, I know just how much I rely on my faith to guide me through the good times and the bad. The Queen's annual broadcast has become a much anticipated part of the Christmas Day traditions for families across the nation. In recent years, it's been a platform she's used to openly share her faith. 8.3 million of you tuned in 2012 and saw the Queen talk about God who sent his son to serve, not to be served, and in doing so, restored love and service to the center of our lives in the person of Jesus Christ. And in her 2014 Christmas broadcast, she shared the gospel with the nation, saying, for me, the life of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, whose birth we celebrate today, is an inspiration and an anchor in my life. A role model of reconciliation and forgiveness, he stretched out his hands in love, acceptance, and healing. And to that we say, Amen.
We're going to read from that passage that I quoted from a minute ago about that attitude being like that of Jesus Christ. Sheila Pyman is going to come and read to us this passage, which just unpacks a little bit more about the king that our queen serves. If you've got a Bible nearby and you want to follow this reading, it's on page 1179 in one of the blue Bibles in front of you. And Sheila's going to come and read that for us. Where's Sheila? Sheila, thank you.
Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Thanks, Sheila. Those verses that Sheila's just read for us just go a long way to unpack the kind of king that our queen serves. The title for our service this morning is the servant queen and the king that she serves. And as Sheila read that reading, I wondered if you pick out some of the things that it says about the king that she serves. So I'm going to highlight them very quickly this morning with you. Here's the first thing that you'll find in this reading that we've just had, that Paul tells us that Jesus is the king who gave up absolutely everything. This is what he said to us, the passage that's been read to us, speaking about Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. At the age of 21, our queen made a deliberate decision to give up her own life ambition to serve the people of this country and the Commonwealth. And countless number of people have benefited over the course of her reign. But the Bible tells us that behind the scenes of history, Jesus made a decision in the heavenly places to put aside his majesty, to put aside his crown, and to choose to step into the history of our world. You often hear this in Christmas time. We talk often about the word Jesus being made flesh, stepping into the history of our world, stepping into our neighborhood. And John, who writes that account, talks about seeing the glory of Jesus Christ. And what I've discovered about the Queen over these last few weeks in particular is her sense of duty and responsibility that lies on her shoulders as Queen, which prompted her to say this in one of her Christmas broadcasts. She said that the life of Jesus Christ is an inspiration and an anchor in my life. You see, one of the most important things about the Christian faith is this, that the Christian faith is about a God who makes the first move. He steps into the history of our world. He's the king who gave up absolutely everything in order to come and to rescue people like you and me. He is the king who gave up everything. That's one of the things that we learn about the king that the queen serves from this passage. Here's the second thing that we'll discover in this passage, that he is the king who became a servant. What does Paul say in this passage that Sheila just read for us? That Jesus took on the very nature of a servant. He was made in human likeness, and being found as a man, he humbled himself. One of the great things about Jesus stepping in the person of our world is that he became fully human, as well as being the perfect man and being divine. That means that he can sympathize with our weaknesses. That means he knows what it's like to live in this broken and fallen world. He said, "I have come not to be served, but to serve." Here's the Queen speaking in her Christmas broadcast at the end of last year, speaking about the person of Jesus who took on the form of a servant. Here's what she said. Despite being displaced and persecuted throughout his short life, Christ's unchanging message was not one of revenge or violence, but simply that we should love one another. The Queen has a king that she serves. He's the king who steps into the history of our world. He is the king who gave up everything and took on the form of a servant and who became a servant. He's also the king who chose to die. What does Paul say in this little passage that Sheila read for us? Quite simply this, that Jesus humbled himself, he became obedient even to death on a cross. That's interesting. In his life, Jesus talked a lot about his death. He talked about it in terms of a ransom price that had to be paid. He talked about it in terms of a rescue mission. We say, well, what's all that about? Well, the Bible makes it clear that our sin separates us from a holy God. Sin creates a barrier between us and God that we cannot cross by ourselves. That's why King Jesus stepped into the history of our world. That's why he gave up everything. That's why he took on the form of a servant. And the greatest demonstration of God's love is found at the cross. He is the king who chose to die so that we might be forgiven. Here's a little audio clip from the Queen speaking at one of our Christmas broadcasts about the king who gave up everything and died on a cross.
Although we are capable of great acts of kindness, history teaches us that we sometimes need saving from ourselves, from our recklessness or our greed. God sent into the world a unique person, neither a philosopher nor a general, important though they are, but a saviour with the power to forgive. Forgiveness lies at the heart of the Christian faith. It can heal broken families, it can restore friendships, and it can reconcile divided communities. It is in forgiveness that we feel the power of God's love.
And it's here at the cross that the love of God is most clearly seen. So what kind of a king does our Queen serve? Well, he's the king who chose to give up everything. He is the king who chose to be a servant, took on human likeness, sympathizes with our weaknesses, knows what it's like to live in this broken and mixed up and fallen world. He is the king who chose to lay down his life. And the other thing that you discover in this passage that we read a few minutes ago is that Jesus is the king who will return as the King of Kings. That's quite something, actually, when you think about it. But here's what Paul says in the reading that we heard a few moments ago. Therefore, God exalted him. That means he raised Jesus from the dead. That means that death is not the end of the story. That God has exalted Jesus to the highest place. He's given him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. And that verse continues with these words. That people will bow before Jesus in heaven and on earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. The Bible talks about a day when Jesus will return, not as a baby, not as a servant, but as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible speaks about a day of ultimate accountability, when God is going to put everything right in this messed up and broken world. I don't know if you've seen from what you've heard today, that the Queen carries with her a real sense of accountability and responsibility for how she lives her life. The Bible says this to us, that God has set a day when he would judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this by raising Jesus from the dead. Here's what the Queen says in that sense of accountability. We saw it a little earlier in our service. Pray that God may give me wisdom and strength to carry out the solemn promises I shall be making, and that I may faithfully serve him, God, and you, all the days of my life. That's quite something when you think about it, isn't it? That is the king that our Queen serves. I wonder for you this morning, is that someone that you have encountered? Do you know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Do you know this Jesus that our Queen has been speaking about year in and year out? Is he your inspiration? Is he your anchor point, as she so clearly says in her Christmas broadcasts? We've talked to a few people, haven't we, today, who've met the Queen, who've been at garden parties, or perhaps seen her and waved. But if you went to Buckingham Palace this afternoon and started shouting through the gates of the palace saying you wanted to see the Queen, I don't think you'd get very far, would you? You could start shouting and demanding that you see the Queen. If you could get it close enough to start banging on the door, do you think you'd get access to the Queen? Probably not. In fact, Gunnar Tim would probably arrest you, actually, and take you off somewhere else. But imagine for a minute that you met William and Kate this week. So you're kind of wandering around Windsor on Friday afternoon. You bump into William and Kate, and they say, "Ah, who have you been wanting to see the Queen?" So why don't you come back this afternoon and we'll take you in to see the Queen. Well, we're having tea with the Queen this afternoon. I think, wow, that'd be great, wouldn't it? So you go back in the afternoon and there they are standing to meet you at Windsor Castle and they say, come with us. And you walk through the front door, there's no one to stop you, and you walk through one level of security after another until suddenly you're brought into the entrance of the Queen herself. And how does that happen? Well, it happens because William and Kate are known to the Queen, aren't they? They're the people who have the access through. And you go with them, you're getting to see the Queen. That's exactly what Jesus Christ does for us in terms of our relationship with God. This is what Jesus said. He said, I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. Look what he says, no one comes to the Father except through me. The same way that William and Kate could take you into the presence of the Queen. King Jesus is the one who takes us into the presence of God. That's how we get to know the anchor point of our life. That's how we get to know the person who's inspired our Queen over so many years. And why does he do that? Well, he's the King who gives up everything because he loves us. And he wants us to enjoy a relationship with him. So he gave up everything. He took on the form of a servant. He chose to die. That was a deliberate decision that Jesus made so that he took the punishment that we deserve. And one day, the Bible says, he will return as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And for those who bow the knee before Jesus, the Bible speaks about new creation, a new heaven, a new earth. No more death, mourning, crying or pain. The old order of things will have passed away. One of our Christmas broadcasts, the Queen used this as a lovely prayer. She took it from one of the hymns that we sometimes sing at Christmas. But she used it because that is how we come to know King Jesus. Holy Child of Bethlehem, we often sing at Christmas time. But it's a great prayer. Descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin. Enter in. Be born in us today. That's how we enter into relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's the relationship that's inspired our Queen over so many faithful years of service. What a great prayer to pray on this special Sunday as we celebrate her 90th birthday. Let's just be quiet for a moment, shall we? And in just a moment, I'm going to pray this prayer again. It's a great way to take a first step of faith as a follower of Jesus Christ, and to say, Jesus, I want you to be my King. Let's just be quiet for a moment. It's a simple prayer, but a step of faith since starts in very simple ways. Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. That is the King that our Queen serves. Here's a few pictures. We can begin to celebrate as we come to the end of our service this morning. Well, we're going to pray for the Queen. And Diane's going to come and lead us in some prayers of thanksgiving for our Queen. Then we're going to sing two songs as we conclude. Diane, thank you.
Let's pray. King of Kings, Lord of Lords, we thank you for the richness of our lives. Lord Jesus, you celebrated with friends when they were getting married. You breakfasted with friends on a beach. You wept when your friend died. You were filled with distress when you saw the ravages of disease. But you celebrated. And Father, we thank you that this week we are able to celebrate as a nation as the Queen marks her 90th birthday. And so this morning we want to thank you, King Jesus, for our Queen, and pray for her and her family. We thank you for the example our Queen has set in her devotion to serving this country, for her loyalty to her people in Britain and across the Commonwealth, and for her unswerving sense of duty in her institutional role. But more than that, we thank you, Father, that our Queen has put her trust in you. Father, we know that her love for you is real, and that it is not just a ritual of monarchy. We praise you that our Queen, who is so cautious about sharing opinions on so many matters, is willing to publicly confess her faith. We thank you for the opportunities that she has to do this, and we ask that in her older years, her boldness in expressing her trust in you would not wane, but become a pressing desire amongst her many duties. And Father, teach us not to take the Christianity of our monarch for granted. We recognise that these are privileged years when we have a Christian reigning over our country, and we recognise that it might not always be so. We have seen, as the royal family has celebrated this occasion, that our Queen is held in very high regard by those close to her, and that they speak of her with an enormous amount of affection. Father, we pray that in all the ways she influences her family, her faith may shine above all things, that her family may sense that her duty and her devotion to her country and her people is rooted in something even more enduring. Father, we see a royal family that is enormously wealthy, beyond famous, but they still need you. And whilst privilege and power can make life extremely smooth at times, it cannot fulfil a spiritual need. It cannot override sin. And it can never provide the everlasting joy of an eternity spent with you. Father, as she celebrates her landmark birthday, we pray for our Queen, for continued prosperity, for peace in her reign, for a long life that is well lived, for continued ability to serve her country in the years to come, and to serve you. Father, we ask on this occasion of her birthday that she will point us to the higher throne. King of Kings, we thank you for our Queen, in King Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Diane. It seemed appropriate to me that we should sing the first verse of our national anthem on a Sunday like today. We continue, in a sense, to pray for our Queen. And then we're going to conclude by thinking about the King that she serves as we sing our final song, King of Kings. And so we're going to start. Our service is at an end. This is the book we've been talking about this morning. If you haven't got one, there should be one around you in the seats. If you can't find one, you'll find one in the foyer through for coffee this morning. If you want to know more about the faith we've been speaking about this morning, these little red booklets, Why Jesus, they're available at the end of each row of seats. Do take one and read them and discover a little bit more for yourself. If I can have the laptop back up, we've got a final prayer that we're going to say together that's on the screen. Just captures the King, the essence of the King that our Queen serves. It's from the Bible. Let's pray it out loud together, shall we? Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honour and glory forever and ever. Amen.